Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And today my guest Ryan is going to just share all the stuff about his Lyme journey. We haven't really talked a lot. And so, sometimes when I bring new guests on the show, I've been chatting with them for a while and I kind of know their whole life history. And then some others I just don't, right? And so it's kind of new. Mm-hmm. I get to follow along and hear the story firsthand with all you listeners. So that is the case today with Ryan. So I'm very thankful that you took the time to join me and just kind of shed some light on this for the listeners and just share your journey and give us some hope and inspiration. So we appreciate you. Thanks so much for joining us, Ryan.
You're very welcome. I'm honored to be here and happy to share my story. And if it can help or inspire others or just make them feel less alone, I'm all for that.
Right? Like that's what it's all about. It truly is. Lyme is such a, whether you have a huge support system around you or you're alone, you still feel alone. It's a very isolating disease. So we Absolutely. Just, you know, that's the goal of this whole podcast is, one, to give the listeners hope, inspiration, want to hear how bad maybe somebody was and that they truly got their life back, right? Like, how inspiring is that? And then along the way, you know, people talk about different ways that they treated their Lyme. That might be a piece that the listener might pick up on and say, hey, you know, I haven't tried that, but gosh, I hear a lot about it. Maybe let's try that. Because, you know, a lot of times during our journey, we tend to throw the whole everything but the kitchen sink at it, right? Like, because we don't know what to do. So it's right. Just great tips and information for the listeners to pick apart whatever they want that works for them. So where do we need to start? How long ago do you remember being bitten, or where does your journey begin?
So let's see. Back in 2010, it's kind of end of 2010, beginning of 2011, was kind of things started. but I don't know. I don't ever recall like seeing a bullseye rash, tick bites. I mean, I grew up in Minnesota. So I was, you know, running around the ruins and stuff like that all the time. I had tick bites, but nothing that ever, you know, registered for me. But it was around right end of 2010, like my birthday, I turned 35 that year. And I had a lot of things going on in my life. I was moonlighting as a personal trainer. I was working full time at AT&T. I was managing 4 properties. So there's just a lot of stuff going on in my life. And I just started getting injured all the time and I couldn't figure out what was going on. Started getting cold sores, never had cold sores in my life. And then one day in the gym, I tore my pec and like doing some minor weight and I couldn't figure out what's going on and just everything. I just started struggling with anxiety, sleep issues. I probably was only sleeping 3-4 hours a night if I was lucky. Mm. And then one day I just woke up and it felt like I just transported to be a 95-year-old man. It took me like an hour to put my pants on in the morning. I was like in so much pain. I could barely get out of bed, struggling with fatigue. And just couldn't figure out what was going on. And, you know, just like everybody else, I'm sure, just started going to my doctors and everybody's like, oh, you know, your blood work looks fine. You know, went to rheumatologists, went to gastroenterologists, neurologists, all the different ologists. And nothing was coming about and wasn't making any progress. And it just seemed like it kept getting worse. At that time, I was playing competitive men's ice hockey, you know, going to the gym, training people and working, and I had to drop hockey, no gym, no longer training people. And I was, thankfully, I was still able to maintain my job and just, you know, continue to search for answers, started to get into things started to shift for me a little bit when I got into ancestral health, like the paleo diet, getting into that whole movement back in 2011. So I made drastic changes in my diet, cut out a bunch of, you know, inflammatory foods like gluten and dairy. And that helped me quite a bit, actually. Like, a lot of my anxiety subsided, some of my pain went away. But the anxiety, or I should say the insomnia and things like that continued. Fatigue continued. It just was all this up and down. I finally went and saw the head of integrative medicine at one of the Chicago's top hospitals. And I went in there, and at that time I started reading about mold illness. I was reading Richie Shoemaker's book, Surviving Mold, and things just started to click to me because I was having, we had water issues, like leakages in our, my porch. And then the other windows in the home were all leaking. And so I thought, well, maybe mold could be causing this. My doctor said no, and went to the head of integrative medicine and asked her if she could run all these specific labs that he had mentioned. And she's like, no, I've never seen these labs. She's like, you have fibromyalgia. And she kind of just handed me a pamphlet. And then I just was sent to walk out on my own. And like, I had been to, she was probably like my 12th practitioner I had been to in the last 18 months. And I thought, like, this is going to be it. Like, every time I was going to see a new doctor, it was like, you know, I've seen functional medicine doctors, environmental specialists, and nobody could figure out what's going on.
And did none of those doctors want to even listen to you talk about mold?
No. They said, do you have like asthma or respiratory issues? I said, no. They're like, do you have sinus issues? I'm like, nope. They're like, well, it's not mold.
Well, then of course you can't have mold. Come on now, Ryan.
Right. And then some of my research, like Lyme, kept coming up, but I was kind of in denial about it. I didn't really want to think about that. And I did have
now, somebody up. Can I stop you right there? Yep. So why were you in denial? Were you really familiar with Lyme? Did you know a lot about it?
I knew a little bit about it. My uncle had Lyme back in the 80s. He was like one of the first people that I'd ever heard about it. And he was in real rough shape, worse than I was, like really bad swollen joints. He was on a PICC line for a couple years, and like, I just didn't want to.
So that kind of one and only experience, you're like, oh, I don't want to be my uncle. So no, I don't have that. Okay. That
yeah. Makes sense. Yeah, exactly.
Cause I, you know, me and I'm sure some of the other listeners out there, I was super excited when they said you have Lyme disease. I was like, oh my gosh, it only took me 7 years to figure this out. Yay. I have Lyme disease. And then once I, you know, at first my initial thing was, I thought that was what dogs get, right? Like, I remember growing up and our parents would treat the dogs for ticks and fleas and all this. I didn't know it was a human thing. And then I started researching it. I'm like, ooh, I don't think I want to have this. Right? But initially we were excited just to have a diagnosis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I actually get to that point. Well, right after I left that function or the integrative medicine department, you know, I just started took it into matters into my own hands. I called an environmental specialist to come and test my home for mold. And I'll never forget this day as long as I live. It was Thanksgiving, and I had been living in Chicago at the time. I was home in Minnesota with my family, and it was Thanksgiving afternoon. I got a call from the environmental mold specialist, and he's like, are you at home right now? I said, no, I'm at home in Minnesota with my family. He's like, good. Do not go back to your home. I was like, what? He's like, the levels of Stachybotrys and mold in your home is off the charts. And I'm almost guaranteeing that's what's making you sick. And wow. That was like the first time I felt validated. Like, no doctors would listen to me. And here it is, this mold inspector calling me on Thanksgiving Day to tell me that the reason I'm sick and what I had been, you know, suspecting was mold. And he validated that for me. And so that was like a huge shift for me. I just kind of gave up on the medical system at that point and was like, all right, it's really, I just need to take matters into my own hands. I ended up trying to remediate my home. I spent like $15,000, maxed it all out, to come to find out that the unit below mine, because I lived in a condo, was a three-story condo. And the unit below mine had been in foreclosure, and the bank had been sitting on it for like 5 years, and it was full of mold. And the mediators are like, or the remediators, like, you're going to need to fix this unit if you want to stay here, because you'll have mold back in your unit within.
My gosh.
And so I was left a very tough decision at that point. I was like, do I try to fix this and stick around, or do I just walk away and let my home go into foreclosure and walk away? And that's what I did. I chose my health over my FICO score and walked away and went and lived with my girlfriend at the time. And I started to feel a little bit better. Like the insomnia wasn't nearly as bad, but then I started to have new symptoms start to come up. More
so now when you moved out, right? Like, and that's mm-hmm. devastating in itself. And you know, that's kind of a good point to bring up. Like, we really will do whatever we need to get well, right? Like it,
yeah.
Our belongings don't matter. Like, we can't really take the money with us. Like, do what you need to do. And people ask me a lot during my journey. They're like, how did you come up with $1 million? Well, you know what? I cashed out my retirement, lost my home, like everything, right? We do what we mm-hmm. have to do to get well, which is sad. And that's why we're spreading this awareness and advocating for it, because we don't want you to spend $1 million, right? Like, we don't want you to do this. We don't want you to do that. We're telling you things not to do, right, that we did. But no, I get it. And so when you moved out of that, I have a couple questions mm-hmm. on that. Yep. One, did you take your belongings with you? And two, did you start treating the mold?
I was looking for people to treat the mold. Like, that was before it was, I mean, this is 2011. So again, Richie Shoemaker's book had just come out. There wasn't really many doctors in the area that knew anything about it. I ended up finding a doctor of osteopathy, who was a little bit more alternative and on the fringe. And, that was like, probably like 6 months after I had moved out, of my house.
So you were already feeling better just being out of the environment.
Yeah, I was feeling better after being out of the mold for sure. Like a lot of the pain went away, but I was having more strange neurological issues. It was just like a complete different like symptom picture kind of showed up.
Okay.
And I got checked out more and nothing was coming up. And so I went to this doctor of osteopathy. He had me fill out a questionnaire, which was it's basically the one that I think it's the Joe Barascano's questionnaire from back in like in the early 2000s. And he's like, I think you have Lyme disease. And I'm like, nah, this is mold. He's like, yeah. He's like, you probably have mold, but he's like, I'm pretty sure you have Lyme. Let's do an Igenix lab. So we ran Igenix, and that was like the next big piece of the puzzle for me. Is he called me, 2 weeks, 3 weeks after we ran the lab. And he's like, I got good news for you. Come into my office and I'll share it with you. And I'm like, okay. So I came into his office and he's like, congratulations, you have Lyme disease. And I was like, I was excited, kind of like how you mentioned you're excited because you get a diagnosis. And then I'm like, oh man, what does this mean? Yeah,
but you were probably just hoping mold was your thing, right?
Right. So he's like, you know, we started on herbals, like some Byron Wright stuff, and I started there and, you know, made a little bit of progress, but that's when I just went into major research mode. I really dove into Steven Buettner's work. And the more I studied about Lyme disease, the more fascinated I was with it. Like, it's one of the most evolved like bacterias, like to be able to change its outer surface proteins. It's got three phases to shift into a cyst form, a spirochete form, an intracellular form. And it's just so sophisticated in how it infects the body. And so then I knew like, okay, now I know what I'm up against. But then I had started learning more about, okay, now we have Babesia and Bartonella and all these other co-infections. It's like, it's never just Lyme. It's like it's viruses and parasites and everything. So.
Yep. And mold, right? Like it's
that led to
and that's why the title of my podcast is Lyme and Beyond, right? Because it's not just Lyme, and it's mm-hmm. not, you know, is mold Lyme? Is it a co-infection? No, it's not. But it's kind of like this umbrella thing, right? Like parasites aren't, mm-hmm. you know, like I just throw the whole sink under this Lyme umbrella, so to say.
Yeah, well, the thing is, working with clients and talking with other people too, I find mold is super common with Lyme, and I feel like I probably had Lyme since I was a kid, but my immune system was strong and it was fine. But then living in mold and having all the stress that I was under was like a perfect storm, and it was like the mold was the straw that broke the camel's back, and now my immune system completely crashed. And then Lyme came out, and Babesia and Bartonella, and so then it was, you know, I spent the next, so that was like October of 2012 is when I finally got diagnosed.
Okay.
So like 18 months or 2 years after I started feeling sick, because I thought it was the mold was the problem once I figured that out. But
so it was two years to get that Lyme diagnosis.
Yep. And then from there, it was just, you know, living in Chicago at the time, you would think, you know, third largest city in the country would have like Lyme litter practitioners. And there wasn't, I saw in that time frame, I ended up seeing probably four more other doctors. One was a mold specialist, the DO, he only got me so far. And then I started working with a naturopath who was trained under Dietrich Klinghart. And that's where I started really learning a lot about different things and opening up my mind to what's really possible as far as like treatments perspective, but also the possibilities that we have as human beings through, you know, like energetic medicine, our mindset, spirituality, all that stuff started to take hold. And that's when things started to shift for me, was kind of really getting in that. At first, I'm sure a lot of listeners are thinking like, oh, it's a bacteria, we just need to kill it. And so it's like, let's throw everything in the kitchen sink at it. But when your detox pathways aren't open and your body doesn't have the energy to detox, when you try to start killing things, you just make yourself feel even worse with the Herxmeyer reactions. And so I realized that there's a key to addressing things, opening up drainage before we start killing and supporting our organs and hormones and all that stuff before we just start to throw, you know, antimicrobials at it. And
you brought up the whole mindset and the emotional side of it. Like that is, I've been stressing this so much in probably the last 6 months to a year with people that it's a huge part of the healing process. And I didn't know this going through my journey, right? Like I learned so many things after the fact. But that is a huge piece. I believe that if you don't heal the emotional side of this journey, right, and or some type of emotional trauma from your childhood that may have nothing to do with this, one of two things, don't believe you can fully get well or you're going to get sick again. Again, just my thought, right? Like I'm not a doctor. I'm just a person who went through this journey. And so it's so important. And changing that mindset as well is going to get you healed faster, right? Like you can't wake up and say, I'm going to, you know, have a horrible day and I'm going to have a horrible day. And you're going to have a horrible day. I mean, you just are, right? Like, so wake up with that different attitude, that different mindset. It's huge. So I'm so, so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, actually, that was like, because in my entire life, I was always, you know, I was an athlete. I was always like, I just type A, like, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to figure this out. And I like to tell this to my clients too, like, you can't solve the problem from the same place that the problem happened, you know, to paraphrase Einstein, like we need to change our mindset of how we look at things. And so I couldn't change it with brute force. I couldn't go to the gym and out train my Lyme. I tried, and every time I did that, I would crash and I would set myself back months. And so I had to succumb to it, accept it. And like the story I like to share. So early in my journey, when I was still living in my moldy home, I started getting into meditation as a way to like, maybe I just, you know, let's reduce stress and bring mindfulness into it. And meditation has been a practice of mine ever since then, because it's been such a key component to my recovery and just my mental space all around. But I had an out of body experience meditating, and these images came up from my past, from the time I was 5 years old, and I didn't know what they meant and I couldn't figure it out what it meant. And I just shoved it back under the rug and didn't want to think about it. And then fast forward 6 years later, and I was probably to the point where I was probably like 70% recovered, 75% recovered. And I remember I was sitting in my living room with a book on Lyme. I think it was called Beyond Lyme. It was a Connie Streisman book. And I couldn't go outside. It was nice out. Like I just looking out the window, seeing the trees blow, hearing people walk to the park that were right down the street from me. And it's like, man, I just want to go to the park, but I didn't have energy. So I'm just going to read this book. And I started reading and I got to chapter 8 and it said, trauma and emotions. And I started reading it. It was like, I just got like punched in the gut, and that out of body experience that brought up something from my past of 5 years old. Now it all started to make sense. Oh. And these were traumas that I've been burying for my entire life. Oh. And I've been running from my emotions since I was a kid. I didn't know how to process them. As a male, you don't want to show like weakness or anything like that. And I hid behind drugs and alcohol for a long part of my life through my early 20s and my early 30s. And once I started to realize that, I started getting into personal development and really diving into the mindset and spiritual aspects, nervous system components, and releasing like the emotions. That was like, you know, because I've been doing the detoxes, I've been doing all the protocols and eating the diet and doing all this stuff, but I just wasn't getting any further. Right. And once I had that revelation, it was like the parking brake let off. And I, within the next 6 months, I jumped up to like 85%.
Oh my gosh. I love this. Okay. So one of the books that I think is fabulous and I recommend it all the time is The Emotion Code by Dr. Bradley Nelson. And so what is the book that you just mentioned? Can you re-mention that, that kind of turned the light on for you?
Yeah, it was, I thought it was Connie Streisman. She's like a journalist, like a medical journalist. She wrote a lot of different books on Lyme disease because she struggled with Lyme as well.
Okay.
And I want to say it was called like Beyond Lyme, like Protocols Beyond Lyme. And so there was other practitioners talking there, and they got to, I distinctly remember it was chapter 8 where it said like emotions, depression, and trauma. And I started reading that, they said a lot of people will get stuck because they never dealt with this stuff in the past. And I've noticed not only with myself and my own personal journey in that, that was like a huge thing. And in all honesty, I think that's what getting Lyme was all about for me. It was God, the universe, whatever, you know, people want to align with, saying, you know, we need to deal with this. You've been running from this for so long, and now it's been brought to the forefront, because we can try to sweep it under the rug for an entire life and it's always going to manifest in physical symptoms. Like you said earlier, you might get better for a little bit, but if you don't deal with that stuff, it's going to come back up and resurface another way. Cause it's a way of, you know, there's messages in that.
Yeah.
And, I ended up actually doing, like Toastmasters. I did one of my first speeches was My Blessing in Disguise. It was the gift that Lyme gave me.
Like you're just giving me chills, because I talk about this a lot too. Like there's a lesson to learn from having this journey, right? And we have to go through it for a reason, right? And we've got to find that reason. I think you just answered your own question, right? Like that this is your reason. And then, you know, the other part of it is so many people, and I know that there's, you know, tons of listeners right now listening to this, down and out. They're not in a good place, right? They cannot imagine anything good coming from this. And you just said it again, just like every one of my guests over the last 3.5 years have said, the other side of Lyme is amazing, because we learn these lessons, we fix these problems. It really is, I promise you, it's so worth getting over, because the other side is so amazing. But we can't see that during the journey, right? And this is for you. That was one of the things that just came, you know, front for you, was this past trauma.
Yeah, it was very powerful. It still is. I mean, Lyme actually gave me everything, this whole process. It helped me find my passion of helping people. Like I've always been interested in the body and from a physical aspect for like sporting events and like recovery and things like that. But learning about the biochemistry and then learning about our psychology and the nervous system and how everything works together, and our medical system wants to compartmentalize it and separate the body from the mind. but they are all one unit. And like, I like to say that we have a spiritual body, a physical body, and our emotional body, and we need to work on all three planes, because if you skip any of them, you're leaving healing open. And it was such a huge gift for me. But I mean, it was, you know, obviously one of the hardest things I ever had to go through. I mean, I remember nights like curled up in the fetal position in the ball, like crying to my mom about how, like, I'm never going to have a life. Like, I remember losing my sight for like an hour and just like kaleidoscope vision, not being able to move my head because my head was so, my neck was so stiff. And just the fear, like hallucinations and all that, but it was all worth it in the end to find and discover where I am now. I couldn't be more grateful for it. And I hear that from so many people that actually, you know, recover as well. And so I, you know, like you mentioned, like your past guests, it's a really big transformation, really.
It is. It is. And, you know, we go through this journey, and I think for a lot of us, you know, maybe that didn't have past trauma in our childhood, but for a lot of us that are starting this journey or that are in the middle of the journey, we discover that we're not who we used to be, and we probably never are going to be, right? It's like we lose that mm-hmm. identity. And for you, you probably were like, I'm never going to be an athlete again. I'm never going to be, you know, and I think that that's really where it breaks down our emotional side of things, is that we have to accept we are no longer, right? I mean, we're going to tell you that's an amazing thing because you're going to be someone better. But at the moment, right, like we lost our life, you know, like I'm, you know, was going to be this or I was going to be that. And now I can't do that. Am I ever even going to be able to have a job? Am I ever going to be well enough? Am I ever? That's kind of the start of a lot of the emotional part of this journey is losing our original identity, right? Because absolutely. I'd like to think that most of us like ourselves as a human, right? Like that's mm-hmm. our goal, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you're at whatever age you are, where you are in your life, like this was your journey, this was your dream, this was your path. And then just to have a stupid little tick or whatever it was, how you got Lyme, like just destroy your dream. It's hard. It is so hard, you know, the physical part of the journey, the mental part of the journey. When you said earlier, it's a tough journey. It is. It is the toughest thing I've ever been through. And I tell you, I think those that have beaten Lyme, there's no one stronger than us. There's not. There's just not. You know, I ran from a fire, drove through flames for 5 hours. I went through breast cancer, all of this after Lyme disease, right? Nothing touches it. Like it's the worst thing ever. I mean, it is. We're tough people for getting through that, for sure. So I love that we're talking about these little things, because not all the time do we talk about it, right? And so I appreciate those keywords that you were throwing out that I picked up on. I'm like, yeah, let's kind of touch on this a little bit, because it may sound silly, right? But it's so important.
I think the identity aspect of what you touched on earlier is really important, because that's exactly like, I was no longer the athlete, the, you know, the gym rat, the personal trainer, like things that define me. Yeah. But again, those don't define you. That's like an external facade for me and for a lot of us. And it's the journey is, and I think this is what's really important too, is that we're always looking for answers outside of us. But the answers are already buried within us if we turn and look inside. Yeah. And when we can connect to that spiritual aspect within our heart that connects us to each and every one of us on this planet, we're all one through quantum entanglement, through spirit, whatever that is, and you want to believe, we're all one entity. And every answer that we ever needed to find is within us if we can stop and pause. And I think another word that I really like to accept is surrender and acceptance. We need to accept where we're at and be okay with it. And then instead of try to fight it all the time, because that's what I always try to do. I'm like, I'm going to beat this down. I'm going to fight it. But if you're trying to in a state of like fighting and resistance, this is creating nervous system dysregulation, you're stuck in a fight or flight state and your body can't heal in that state. But when you finally surrender and let go and trust the process, which is not an easy thing to do, like amazing things can shift, weights lifted off of you. And you know, I know a lot of people, myself included, where I would just jump from one protocol to the next and this doctor to that doctor, and never knowing what was really working at some point, spending thousands and thousands of dollars on things. And, you know, once I surrendered and was like, okay, it made connected some of these dots, things started to fall into place. And I wasn't fighting it anymore. I was accepting and allowing myself to move forward.
You know, if I had blinders on and I couldn't see you right now, I would swear you were one of my friends I met through the Lyme journey named Ricky. He's all about mindset and all of that. And you kind of just took the words out of his mouth. Like once he accepted it, kind of surrendered, like what you said, it was like, boom, he was almost better overnight. Like it was incredible. And this is true stuff. You know, it's true stuff. And it's not, like you said, it's not an easy thing to give up that power or to surrender like that. But we're telling you, like, it's powerful. I mean, you're saying it right there. It's good. It's good stuff. It really is.
It absolutely is. And one more thing I kind of want to touch on in the identity thing, because we lose our old identity, but I like we're a snake shedding our skin and rebirthing, or a phoenix rising from the ashes. But we can get stuck with the identity of Lyme or the identity of whatever ailment that we're dealing with. And, you know, coming back to if that's our identity and that's what we've, you know, the program we've built into ourselves, our nervous system and our subconscious mind is always trying to act out for us. And so even when we look into habit change, like it's easier to, if we change our identity, habits become easier because we cling to things that we identify with. And if we identify with our illness, it can keep us just as stuck as if we're identifying to something else. And so I think that's a really important thing for people to understand as well, is that just because you're sick now does not mean you'll be sick forever. Changing stories, changing and letting go of that identity of being a sick person is really, really important. And I think more people need to consider that as well.
No, those are great words. Great words for sure. And yeah, it's, you know, there's a phrase that gets thrown around a lot that, you know, I might have Lyme, but Lyme doesn't have me, right? Like don't let it control your world. Don't give it that power over you. You have it, okay? And then, you know, just my pastor this last Sunday was just, you know, every Sunday it's, I always get spoke just right to exactly what I needed to hear. I'm like, how does he know this, right? How does he know this? And that was the one thing, you know, we kind of talked about. It's like, what has empowerment over you, right? Like, is it politics? Is it your job? Is it, you know, like right now I was... My hometown back in California is burning once again, and the town I fled from is on evacuation notice again. Like all these things are going through. I'm like, Tanya, don't let it consume you. Like, right? Stress causes things in our body to not work right. Mm-hmm. Like I'm super healthy. I feel amazing. I don't want to go back anywhere. And so it's just kind of like a reminder of you can't let the bad things consume you. Right? Find something good. If you just want to be consumed by joy, fantastic, because then you're just going to exude joy to everyone, right? That's not a problem. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. But yeah, so don't let Lyme define you. Surrender to it. You have it. And then don't just cope with it, right? We don't want to cope with life. We want to fix it. We want to dissect it. We want to analyze it. We want to do all this stuff, right? Like you said, you got really into learning all about it, because that's what's going to get us to that other side and transform who we thought we were into what we really are, or what we were meant to be.
Absolutely. And yeah, when we connect to that part of us of who we are and really are and what we're capable of, I mean, like you said, if you can overcome this, you can overcome anything. Just building that belief. And like the, and I, like sometimes, like, I don't know what was worse, the emotional aspects of Lyme or the physical aspects. They're both bad, but it's just like when you have those days where you're like, you wake up and you have energy and I'm like, oh man, I'm starting to get better. And then you try to go do some stuff and then you get knocked down and then
quickly reminded.
You're a week later. Now you're laid up again. You can barely get out of bed. And you're just like that. Those were some of the harder parts for the emotionally. Cause it's like, you get a taste of like what normal life could be like. And then the rug gets ripped out from under you. And you know, so it's just, you know, patience, surrender. There's so many different things to, you know, I could go on forever about all the different things that people can do and try, but I think, surrendering to it and accepting is huge. And then not identifying with it. And then finding a practitioner that you trust, and then trusting the process and working through it, because, for the most part, there's no straight line. Not, you know, everybody has their own different weaknesses and strengths when it comes to it and how it presents for you. And you just have to be in open and willing to try things as well along the way.
Yeah. And I like that too, because I think there's a lot of people out there that are kind of stuck with the traditional road of Western medicine. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm not knocking it. I'm not, you know, saying anything. Cause when I grew up, my mom took me to the doctor. I took the pill that they gave me and I got well. Like, that's kind of how most of us are raised, right? Yep. And like you, when you lost faith in, you know, those white jackets, I did too, because they left me for dead, right? They left me for dead. They couldn't figure it out. So instead they labeled me with all these other things, including just being crazy. And so if you're out there and you're struggling and you're not getting well, if you don't resonate with your daughter or your doctor, it's time to change things up, right? Think outside the box. You know how many tons and tons of people are getting well from Lyme disease by doing everything outside the box, right? But it's scary. Absolutely. We don't know. I call it voodoo, which voodoo saved my life, right? Like, right. We don't know. It's new to us. But if what you're doing isn't working, switch it up. Switch it up. It's absolutely not a permanent thing, but try something new. And I like that you said that, you know, you really need to resonate with your doctor. There's more and more every year, we're getting more and more knowledgeable doctors in the Lyme community, which is amazing. But the flip side, the bad side of that is there's a lot of these doctors that I feel are in a whole nother level when it comes to pricing, right? Like, I get it. You need to keep the lights on. You need to make a living. But I think that there are a lot of practitioners out there that are very well, very qualified, and it's not going to cost you a fortune. They're hard to seek out, right? They're hard to seek out. But they're out there. They're out there. So find one you resonate with, find one that is affordable, right? And like you said, trust the process.
It's trusting the process, trusting them, trusting yourself. Cause a lot of times when things have failed so often, or maybe you have a harder time following through because you have a lot of brain inflammation, which makes, you know, executive functioning and things can be difficult. You know, trusting that, having somebody who can guide you, somebody that really cares. I know for like a lot of people that I work with, they appreciate the fact that I've been through it so I can relate to them. I mean, I'm not a licensed practitioner, so I can't diagnose or treat anything specifically, but to coach people, it can be really helpful. And you know, relying on the community. The community is really strong. There's a lot of people that can help you in that regard as well. and there's newer things coming out. For me, my journey, I didn't do any antibiotics. It was all herbals. Like, I find that they tend to be really, really great for me and other people that have used them because they're a broad spectrum. I know you had Bill Rawls on here, and he's a great, great practitioner and knows so much about this. And it really does come down to the cells and supporting those, because once we start removing those things at a cellular level, we can start creating cellular energy again. Our cells start to communicate and things can start to really start to change.
Yep.
and herbs are just, nature has provided us with all the tools that we need in the sunlight. That's something I'm really big on. Understanding your circadian rhythms, using plants to support you. They are more broad spectrum and they don't have as much collateral damage from my own, from the research and from my own personal experience, what I've seen others as well. There's homeopathy is really powerful if people are into that. And like you said, voodoo, like I remember going and, you know, getting muscle tested and having Zyto scans and things like that. Like, you know, 4 years ago or 4 years prior to that, I would have said that's total quackery. But again, it's like you said, you got to get outside the box and open yourself up to new ideas, because there are a lot of different healing modalities out there that doesn't have to be antibiotics or, you know, there's a lot of different options.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, for the poor listeners that have been following me for years, they've heard me say this before and I'll say it again, I'm sure. But that was the initial, I mean, I did do some energy treatments through Chinese medicine, but it was just it was a little bit different. So I'm not saying I was new to that whole kind of world when I first started treating. But then when I moved to Idaho and I was like, oh my gosh, I just lost my home in a fire. I relocated to Idaho. I'm like, now I'm, you know, sick again. I took all these steps backwards from that emotional trauma of it. And I'm like, gosh, do I want to go back out of state to get treatment? Let me see if I can find a doctor here. It'd be much more convenient. And that was when I got into the true actual like kinesiology, the muscle testing, right? So I go to this doctor, this voodoo doctor. He does this muscle testing. He sells me all these supplements and I buy him, right? Like, what do we do? Mm-hmm. And I will never forget. I'm driving home in my car and I call my mom and I go, Mom, that doctor was a quack. And she's like, why? And I'm trying to tell her what he's doing and all this stuff. And I said, and I spent this much. She goes, well, why did you buy all that? I'm like, I don't know, because what else am I supposed to do, right? Well, I went home and I trusted the process. I thought, Tanya, either this or you're going to pack back up and, you know, go back to Nevada where the clinic was that, you know, got you to where you are now. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm just going to do this. So I started taking all these things that I bought. And next thing you know, I'm starting to feel a little better. And I'm like, okay, so voodoo, whatever you want to call that stuff, I'm going back, right? Like, it was amazing, but it was weird. Mm-hmm. And so, again, kind of like trust that process, right? If you, and there's so many people out there that they don't know what to do. Do I do the Rawls protocol, the Buhner, there's so many things out there that you can be doing and they don't know what to do. So they do this and then they jump to this and then they jump. No, find what your heart and your gut is telling you to do and trust the process. That process may not work for you, but unless you give it a fair shot, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, right, to see the needle move or something, you're not going to know. You keep jumping all over to all these different protocols. One, you're not trusting yourself, right? You're not trusting the process. And that is part of the journey, part of the learning. And so I think it's important that it's okay to throw a lot of different things at it to find things that work, because, you know, this can get you this far. And then this can get you this far. You know, it's just not one thing. It's many, multiple things. But you've got to trust what decision you've made at the time and run with it. And I think that's a big thing for a lot of people out there, is it's so confusing. There's so much. And so they just jumped from next thing to this. They did this for a month and now they're doing. I'm like, you just started this. Yeah, but I don't think it's working. Oh my gosh, it was a month. Like what?
Yeah.
And your mindset isn't right. It's like, it's hard. I get it. I understand it. Right.
that's a big thing. I mean, I was one of those people too, that was jumping from one thing to the next until I, found my naturopath that really kind of like grounded me. Like I trusted her. What she's saying was making sense and the things that she was doing with me was working. And so I was like, okay, and it wasn't having to jump around. And I call it protocol ADD, just like you said, 1 month, like it's not happening. And, you know, but as a society too, we become so,
we want instant gratification with everything in life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. It's like we want a pill to fix it. And really it's like, there's no magic bullet. Like you could share exactly what worked for you and that might not work for, and I could share exactly what worked for me and it might not work for people.
Yep.
But you need to give it a fair shot. And that's like a really, really important aspect. And I remember there was a podcast I was listening to, I think it was like Chris Kresser and maybe Sean Croxton, and they were talking about a difficult client they had. And she had been to like six different practitioners, and she came to Sean or Chris and said, I want you to be the last person. Like long story short, it came down to like, it doesn't matter, you know, a lot of times it doesn't necessarily matter what the protocol is. It's the matter of if you believe in it and you commit to it wholly, that can make such a big, big difference, but you have to trust it. Obviously, if you're not seeing results in like, you know, 4 to 6 months, it's like, okay, it's time to check out and see if there's something missing or maybe move on to the next thing. But you have to give it at least 3 months minimum to see if something's working for you, because you didn't get sick overnight for the most part. Even if you got bit by a tick, like there was things lurking behind that were, you know, your immune system is going to get taken down. And so it takes time for us to get back to, and we need to give it that time.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better. That is just, it's just a process, right? It's just the process of, you know, peeling the layers of the onion, so to say. And there's a lot of layers to it, right? Like there's kind of a foundation of it, right? Like we want to boost our immunity. We want to fix our gut. Whether we started with antibiotics or not, chances are your gut's kind of a mess, right? Fix your gut, make sure that all your detox pathways are open, you know, and now we're going to kill, but we got to bind and dissolve and get rid of the junk and just all the stuff, right? And then you got to add the parasites into it. The mold, you know, factor that you may or may not have mold. Most people have mold that are dealing with Lyme, and they probably had it long before they even got Lyme, right? And then sometimes the Lyme will trigger the mold. In your case, the mold triggered the Lyme, right? Like, so there's just so many things that go into it. But it's still, just because something didn't work for you, that maybe doesn't mean that your practitioner is not a good one. Right? It just might mean that wasn't what your body needed right then, because it's not a one size fits all. So again, back to that, trust and resonate with your doctor. It's so important.
Absolutely. And then the other thing too is like, if you've been doing things on the biochemical end, like you've been doing either antibiotics or herbs and opening up drainage pathways and doing all that, and you're still not making progress, I've seen it over and over again with both in my client population, myself, is that if you've been doing all those things, you're overlooking nervous system regulation and the emotional component, you're missing out on a huge, huge aspect. And so like for myself, it was like taking the parking brake off. I see it so many times in clients that I work with too, when we help them you know, find tools to regulate their nervous system and to go inward and come and find those answers and start to look at those, you know, the emotions they may have been avoiding or suppressing, or maybe there was some sort of trauma that they had. If they're, you know, working with a practitioner or working through that, can be massive in helping you move through this, because whether it's trauma or emotions or nervous system dysregulation, if you're stuck in a fight, flight, or freeze, your body doesn't have the tools or capacity to heal. You need to calm that down. And once that happens, then the body starts to do what it's meant to do. And it's your body's amazing capacity to heal.
Yes. Yes. God designed our bodies to heal themselves, given the right tools, right? And yeah, that's huge, because all of us that have Lyme, at one point we are stuck in that fight or flight mode, you know. And it was, I remember my initial doctor from years ago, the way he explained it to me was, I'm like, what does fight or flight mean? Like, I don't know these terms, right? He says, imagine you're in your car and you've got it in neutral and you're a park or whatever, and you're sitting there revving the engine up and you're watching those RPMs go up, right? And you're just revving, revving, revving. He goes, that's your body. It never shuts down. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop for you to sleep. It just keeps revving up. Eventually, you're going to blow your engine, right? Or whatever you blow. I don't know. I'm not a mechanic, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you just keep going.
Yeah.
Eventually, you're going to shut down, right? Like, so you've got to get out of that fight or flight mode. That's almost kind of like one of the foundational things of the gut health, you know, kind of building it up. It's huge. It's huge because so many of us are stuck in that. Yeah. So yeah, well,
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, with the nervous system, you think about the vagus nerve and the parasympathetic. So, I mean, every major organ from your vocal cords to the way you breathe, your heart, your digestive system, sex organs, all that stuff, your liver, if you're in that fight or flight state, none of those organs get proper communication and can work properly. And so you can try to force things and nothing's going to move because the body is in that state where it's, you know, the organ systems aren't working as well. And like you said, you're revving your engine, but you're not going anywhere. And we just have to calm that down.
Yeah. And we're all connected from the head to the toe, right? Like, it all has to work synergistically. I mean, it just does. Wow. So obviously Lyme disease changed your journey in life, right? And yes. I'm grateful for you that you went through this, right? Like, you were able to release a lot of that stuff that you've been sweeping under the rug for all those years. One, probably because you're a male, right? Like, males tend to do that more, right? I get it. But also because maybe you didn't want to deal with it or didn't even know what it meant, or, you know, we don't have time for a lot of things in life, right? Like, life is busy. But it got you out of that, you know, and it fixed that for you. And I love that. So this kind of, you mentioned earlier in the show that you really just got very inquisitive about, you know, Lyme, what is it and how does it do? And so what do you do now? Because you are giving back to that Lyme community because of your own journey. So tell the listeners what you do, how you do it, where we can find you, all the good stuff.
Yeah. So, in the process of my healing, I ended up getting certified as a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. And then I've got, multiple other certifications in, the whole psychology method, the Wellness Code Academy. They're all like mind body methods. Functional diagnostic nutrition is kind of like functional medicine. And so I work with people, helping them, you know, I don't diagnose or treat anything specifically, but I provide guidance, support for them, help them find their best diets. Really the area that I really focus on now is really helping them with their nervous system regulation, helping them provide a simple framework for them to work through the mental, emotional aspect to provide and open that gateway for them early on versus waiting forever. And so I have a lot of clients that come to me that have been sick for 20 years, like I mentioned earlier, but they never dove into that mental, emotional, nervous system aspect. And once they do, they're like, wow, like, you know, they've made great progress in short amounts of time in comparison to the other things. So really it's just, I use as many lifestyle aspects as I can with my clients, helping them dial in their circadian biology, which is our connection to light and dark, increasing cellular hydration, helping them improve their mitochondria, and then just giving them simple frameworks and tools to work through all this in a step-by-step approach. So I work with clients both one-on-one in like a group format, and I'm in the process of building out a membership community. So that'll be something as a way to get in to get support as well, and just have a lot of information. So all the probably 15,000 hours of research I've done in the last, since 2010, and what's worked for me and what I've seen work for others is going to be all compiled for people to help be their own best self healers, so to speak. And I work with people in that capacity. And if you want to find out more about me, the best place to find me is on Instagram at Ryan Ryan_Severson. So that's Ryan, R-Y-A-N, _SYV, E-R-S-O-N. I have a website that I'll share. It's Your Sublime Life. So YourSublimeLife. It's a mouthful. So you can find me there. And I'm on Facebook as well.
Awesome. And we'll be sure to add those links into the title of this episode so people can find you. But that's amazing. I love that. It sounds like you do a lot of stuff, and you I love that you work a lot with the nervous system, right? And then regulating that and the emotional part of it. It's huge, right? Like I often wonder all the time about how much quicker what could I have gotten well had I dealt with the emotional part of it. But again, I didn't know, right? Like I didn't really know anybody that had Lyme or was going through this journey, and it was so new to me and I didn't know what I was doing, right? But it does. It looking back now, I'm like, I swear I could have gotten better so much faster if I would have just worked that into the things that I was doing. So it really is important. So I'm so glad we, you know, the this show today just kind of, we went all over the place a little bit, right? Like, what'd you say, treatment ADD or something? Like, that's kind of how we were.
Yeah.
But we touched on a lot of really good things that I don't often talk about. And so when it gets brought up, sometimes I kind of like to dive deeper into it. So I kind of appreciate you just letting us pause and stop your journey and go into down these all these little rabbit holes, because they all mean something. They're all a huge part of the journey. So I appreciate all your insight on that and what you do.
Absolutely.
So it's been great meeting you. Thank you for your time. I appreciate your help. And
it's great meeting you as well. And
it's great. We're just going to keep out there helping that.
It's been an honor.
Lyme community, right?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Well, you have a great evening, and we'll see you next time.
Sounds good. I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.